By the way, I don't know if PJ mentioned it, but now there's light in that hallway over there, right? Let there be light. Have you guys noticed there's a lot of light over there? They changed the light. I think Walter worked on the light, right? Huh? No, not those yet. Those are going to be fixed up pretty soon, right? Yeah. Anyways, what a message this morning. Would you agree? I thought that was a strong message. I was like, wow, you know, powerful. And even though PJ says he doesn't know if he did good, I always kid with him because sometimes he'll tell me I did not do a good job. I said, I know you didn't, but the Holy Spirit did, right? Using God's word. So I put gracia, right? I'm sure you guys know what that is, right? Grace. I wasn't just trying to be cute. People said, why'd you put that? Because I speak Spanish, you know? And sometimes I love how certain words sound better in Spanish, not because I'm Spanish. It's just like I've said before, you know, when you say, you know, gratitude, obviously, or actitud. If you say attitude in Spanish, the word attitude in Spanish is actitud, right? I love that word because in Spanish, that means you have to act your attitude, right? It's not just attitude, like mentally or whatever. You actually have to act to change your attitude. So it's actitud, right? And I love how the word gracia sounds. You know, I have several subjects and series I'm working on making into preaching sermons. Since PJ's been telling me he wants to give me more messages. And today, because we are 4 days from Thanksgiving, the subject is going to be grace. No, it's not going to be about the holiday, but it would be great that what you hear tonight, you can apply and share it with others during the holidays or during you're having your food or your fellowship with your family and friends. so after you, I'm writing down my notes here. Maybe after you hear the message today, you can say to God, gracias, right? And I'm going to say that because that's what I'm hoping. It's not that you learn how to be thankful for what you have, because we already have it. It's to be thankful to God. And I titled it again, gracias. You know, so I've done this message, by the way, but I just can't recall if I've done it on a Wednesday Bible study or when I was working with the youth more or in a sermon. But in any case, the word grace, it's not just a beautiful term in the Bible, but it's an important one to study. Many times people mistake that grace, that word grace is only what they receive, right? That's what we always think about, right? We're always just thinking as the beneficiaries, as the person that received sometimes gifts, sometimes other things, right? Or even just being saved. But grace can be a misunderstood word. We should be studying more who gave it, not just who received it. We should be looking at the giver when it comes down to grace, not just the receiver, right? You know, we say in football, it's not necessarily the receiver, it's the quarterback, right? It's who's the one throwing the ball, who's delivering the ball, who's delivering the message. In this case, you know, it's God, right? At times we use our minds to preoccupy ourselves with thoughts or words that don't reflect what God did for us. And a good question here to ask is, what are we preoccupying our minds with that grips our hearts towards Him? So think about that. Not just during the holidays when we may be cozy and having some warm food around friends and family around a fireplace, but how about when it's not going our way? We at times preoccupy our minds with a question towards God with the word, why? Not just why is this happening to me or my family, but even if we just ask, why, Lord? Why, Lord? We ask why like we are trying to give advice to God, like if we are one of His advisors. The word why signifies a question that we need an explanation or a clarification to why it's not going our way. And maybe whomever asked that question is because they believe they didn't get enough grace. How come she or how come he gets more? Maybe we ask that, right? I have a few kids like that in our class, Sunday school. People ask me or Walter ask good questions, and I say, it's very easy sometimes to learn how your kids might be as they get older, especially if you don't learn how to channel them different, because if they ask a lot, how come they get another piece? How come they get this more than us? That doesn't change as they get older, right? So you have to be able to figure out how to work with that when they're young, you know, and not just when they're older, right? When they're just, you think they're just being selfish. We want what we don't have, and we don't want what we do have. Are we jealous or envious of what someone else might have? Maybe we feel somehow that we have been left out, that we've gotten the short end of the stick. And for a believer to feel that way is to call into question the divine purpose of God for one's life. So let's be careful on who we're questioning. In reality, what we should be asking first is, are we first devoted in worship and praise before we even dare to think or say anything else? I'll repeat that again. Are we first devoted in worship and praise before we dare to think or say anything else? I heard a preacher say, our studies and our thoughts when we wake up should first erupt us in praise. Should erupt us in praise. And I love what he said as he finished. He said, praise God for God. Praise God for God. Not for what we receive from him. A good question to ask ourselves is, where is our minds first devoted to? So tonight, we will ask, what is grace? And my hope is I do justice to the subject. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you again for those that are here. Father, help us to learn what is grace. Learn how to praise you first. Learn how to erupt in praise and worship, not in what we receive, but in who you are. And, you know, just you're worthy of honor, you're worthy of praise, you're worthy of glorification. Father, help us to be glory machines first before we think about just gifts that we can receive. Ultimately, we know we're receiving from you, but at the same time, Father, please help us to not be selfish and to help us as Thanksgiving is coming, that we have so much to thank for, and hopefully today's subject and sermon and message will be in our hearts to do that. For myself, give me the words, and for those that are listening. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. So let us establish first if we even have a right to question God. Also, where is our mind devoted to it first? Earlier when PJ kind of mentioned a little bit of that, I was like, good, you know. I'm copying him, right? Because I was getting confused at first that he was saying something different, but he confirmed it towards the end. In Isaiah 55, 8, 9, I think I have it in your notes, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are, what? My ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I put here, okay, now we can go home. That's it. We can just go home now and just not worry about nothing else. Because who's in control, right? He says in Romans 9:20, but indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? You know, he's the potter, and we're the what? We're the clay. The clay doesn't get to tell the potter how to form it. Romans 11, 33 through 36, it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and what? His ways, past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? There we go again, right? He doesn't need advisors. Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So again, we are not God's advisors to ask him why he does things his ways. Folks, when God takes over our life, we don't even make it on the transition team. Little less an advisor role. He is the cabinet of one, right? We're hearing all these things. Oh, the transition team. Who's he picking for the cabinet? You know what God says? I'm a cabinet of one. I don't need advisors. I don't need another cabinet. I'm the one. All of it. Obviously, in that passage, Paul is talking about Jews and Gentiles. But who deserves salvation? No one. But because he provided mercy through his son, in verse 28, in Romans, it says, concerning the gospel and those who are elected get his saving grace, and they get to be called beloved. We get to be called beloved, right? Because what have you done? And thank God for it, what it says in verse 29, it says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. So who is the gifter? The same person that's the caller, right? Do we thank him for that every day? I mean, meaning, do we just thank him just for him being a gifter? And do we thank him for him being the caller? Because he didn't have to call us. He didn't have to gift us. We should be doing that every day, right? But before those gifts, let us not forget all were disobedient, and God provided salvation through his mercy, not through anyone's own merit. If all were disobedient, then all are in need of God's mercy. Grace is not conquered by sin, but rather sin is conquered by grace. Now that we have established that God is in control of our lives, and no one tells God what to do, the potter, how to shape the clay, no one tells him that. If we understand verse 33, it is stating that we know that God has a depth, but at the same time that we can't see all of that depth. So think about that. Oh, the depths, right, of the riches. So he's saying to us, there's a depth. What does depth mean? Right? We can't see that far. Okay? Why can't we see it? Because it is vast and deep. Let's acknowledge that first. Let's show reverence on that. And he is the giver of his wisdom and knowledge. I took my family to the Grand Canyon a few months ago. Who's been to the Grand Canyon? I don't know if everybody's been to the Grand Canyon, right? It's the first time I've seen it. And my son Matthew was questioning, why are we getting so close to the edge? Right? We would get so close to the edge, and it was, right? By the way, as he should be. And why? Because he understands the depth of it. Smart kid, right? He can't see how deep and how far it really is, but at least he is respecting and trusting the depth without understanding it fully. Right? He's okay, well, that's gonna hurt, but I don't have to really, really take that kind of a risk, right? Are we doing that with God's riches? Or are we saying to God, I know you're rich in wisdom and knowledge, and I know how unsearchable are your judgments, and I know you already established your ways, but if I'm going to trust you, I must see it all to believe it. Is that what we're saying? Who can be his counselor? It says in that passage in Romans, and I repeat it again. God gave mercy and saving grace to people so they could be devoted to worship and praise, not so we can get every one of our questions answered or so we can get our own ways. We feel like we must know it all so we can get our own ways or so we can get all our questions answered. God doesn't care if he gets your questions answered, right? It is his ways, not ours. It is not God, answer my questions first, then I will be faithful. No, it is be faithful, praising worshipers first. And if God wills to share more of the depth of his riches, we continue to praise him even more. Right? If he wills to give us those riches, the depth of his knowledge and his understanding and his judgments, praise God, hallelujah. Right? Because sometimes people don't get it, right? We don't get it sometimes. And by the way, it's not a vicious cycle, because you might go, oh, I want to know it all, and how come he won't give it to me? It's not a vicious cycle. It's a virtuous cycle. It's a virtuous cycle because it becomes beneficial to us being obedient towards him. If we get in his word, if we saturate ourselves in the word, I said this morning to Walter's class, it's amazing to me that people will say, I got to get back to church. I got to get back to the word. I don't understand that part, right? And I know maybe I'm already here more deeper than some people, but in any case, I mean, he didn't save us so we can have him as an option. So we can just say, I got to pick up the Bible one of these days. Or I got to go to church one of these days. But we don't do that with our jobs. We don't do that with our work. We don't do that with anything else, right? With food, right? We don't go, oh, I think I'm going to start eating again. Or I'm going to get back on my phone again. We do it all the time, right? So it's not a vicious cycle plugging into the Lord. It's a virtuous cycle. If I'm saying it right, virtuous. And if it is a vicious cycle, it is because we have a tendency of being critical on how God does things. Rather than be changed or transformed, we should put our hands on our mouths and just listen, right? If we're being critical to God. It says, a real change comes from, in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, there's the mercies again, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. That means you're still living, right? Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Good questions here to ask. How are we doing presenting ourselves being a living sacrifice? How are we doing? I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to myself. How are we doing being holy and acceptable to God? God gave us a standard, what it is to be holy, living sacrifice, right? And how it is to be acceptable to God. He tells us in his word, right? How are we doing transforming and renewing our minds? I love that because every day, even though it's a new day, it should still also be a new day for us in God's word. We should be growing. That's why it's called progressive what? Sanctification. We should be sanctified ourselves, progressing ourselves in the word, right? What's progressive mean? There's progress, right? There's progress going on. Not staying stale. Like a river or a pond that never actually has flow that stays there. What happens to that water? It gets stale, it gets green, right? So transforming by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we can be proven of what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So what is grace? Well, let us understand that God is the source of every good thing that men possesses first, right? So we don't try to take any credit, right? Like giving life, we just witnessed that with Zach and Grace. They witnessed it, having this new baby named Paul. First baby, right? We also know God gives breath. He gives rain. We've had some this week. He gives plenty of sunshine. I always have this thing. There's enough sun for everybody, right? And there's only one sun. He gives moonlight and other natural blessings. He gives, we know that, by the way, what's it say in the Bible? He made the greater light and the smaller light. In the Grand Canyon, I didn't know where this was going to happen, but I got to see in the evening. It's supposed to be one of the darkest areas in the world, by the way, if you didn't know that. I think it's number 3 or number 4 when they have all the lights off. And you can see the all the stars, the what's it called, the galaxies, right? You can see all that. It's beautiful, by the way. I have pictures if you want to see them. Kids got to see all that. It was cool. So he gives moonlight and other natural blessings. He gives life. He also gives life after death. We just lost a friend, even PJ knows her. They're going to have the funeral this Saturday. Her name is Peggy Suarez. And she died of cancer. And I told her family, because I know her, how much she would always talk about God and Jesus and so forth. And I told them, she is more alive than us. Because she's in heaven with the Lord. We are still dying. She's no longer suffering, right? Matthew tells us, in the book of Matthew tells us, his grace is toward the just and the unjust alike. So think about that, okay? As we read in Matthew 5:45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. I've heard that saying here that we call it what? Common grace, right? He gives grace to everybody, even the ones that don't deserve it, right? We know it's still his creation, but they don't deserve it. We didn't deserve it, right? And God gives even all that. Yet for that common grace, the natural man refuses to use his common sense to thank God. And for many, they even use their foolishness to deny that there's a God, even though they see it in their eyes, right? It says also in Acts 14 through 15, 17, it says, and saying, men, why are you doing these things? This was Paul and Barnabas, right? We also are men with the same nature as you and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all the things that are in them. So they're in there saying, right? They're trying to talk to them about God. They're not believers yet, from what I see. And he says, why are you doing these things? Look at all this stuff that God made for you and us, right? He's given it to you. And you're not worshiping the proper God, right? Who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness. And that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And in that instance, instead of acknowledging and thanking the only true God, who is a real grace giver, they made Barnabas to be Zeus and Paul Hermes. And what'd they do? Did they go, oh, that was cool. I got a lot of followers, a lot of subscribers, you know. That's cool, man. I just got some podcast people following me because they call me Zeus or Hermes. No, what'd they do? They tore their clothes off because they were disgusted and shameful that they were even being considered a god that was giving them all that. And they just tore off their clothes because they weren't worshiping the proper God. When Paul and Barnabas seen men robbing from God's glory, they didn't ask God why. They asked the people, why are you doing these things? So they turned their energy not on God. Why? They said to them, why are you doing this? Why are you doing these things? Now, maybe we won't tear our clothes off, but do we at least ask people, why do they believe what they believe? Especially during this holiday, you might be hanging out with people. That might be a good question. Can I ask you a question? Why do you believe what you believe? Just curious. Or like PJ said earlier, I don't agree with you. We differ, right? That's a good one to use, right? We differ. Not all gods are, what did he say today? Not all gods are equal or valid, which obviously we believe that. But there's people out there that do believe that. That's what the religion of our states is, right? I heard someone say that USA Today is not the United States of America, it's the United States of anxiety, right? There's so many people anxious today, okay? So why is it so hard to be, and I say word to be, or to give thanks? Remember that question. Well, first, let's cover one of the best known definitions of grace. We've all heard it. God's unmerited what? Favor. Meaning that favor that is titled grace, that God gives and that no one deserves, right? It's unmerited. Means we didn't earn it. And we can't earn it, and we will never earn it, right? But yet many try. Even men dead in their trespasses understand some form of responsibility. They're not dumb, right? They understand a form of responsibility. So why is it so hard to be or to give thanks? There's the question again. They struggle to give thanks to God because they want to earn the grace on their own merit. Not just with God, they want to do everything on their own. I don't even think it's just America. I know America is a big one because we say, hey, land of opportunity, go out there and make it happen, right? Go conquer the world. But we still try, right? On our own merit. And in our fallen mind or other people that might be fallen, right? To thank God is to acknowledge their own obligation to worship him. So if we actually thank him, we have to now worship him. We have to acknowledge that he exists and that he's real. And we have to say, man, we have to worship him. So it's not just that we don't deserve his grace. It's that he gives favor to sinners when really the deserving is his wrath. I call it maybe merited wrath, right? We talk about unmerited favor. Well, those that want to earn it is really merited wrath that they deserve. Showing kindness to a stranger is more like unmerited favor. Think about that, okay? Showing kindness to, I put that thing in there, stranger versus enemy, right? Showing kindness to a stranger is more like unmerited favor. Showing love and doing good to an enemy is more like grace. He gives us an example when in Luke 6:27-36, it says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies." Ah, he has to say that, yes. "Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other one also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do, you also do to them likewise." I said that last week. I think it was at the Sunday school again. And he had a question of, "Have we have any examples?" And I'm not saying this to brag, because I sort of failed it too, right? But where I was at Costco not too long ago, and we had just came from Sunday, and apparently I crowded. Everybody knows what the word crowded means. I cut, right? I cut the line. I didn't know I had cut the line, by the way, you know? But there was a family there that went unhinged and just told me off. I mean, it was just all over the place. And I know they were doing it in front of my family too. And, you know, I was embarrassed about it. And I was just, wow, you know? And then even the women, the wife was just all over me. And I was like, oh, this is crazy, right? Just for, because we cut the line, you know? And then, you know, I was like a rooster, right? With my head was going, you know, like I was like, ugh, you know? And then we sat down to enjoy our whatever, hot dog or pizza. And I was like, man, you know, that wasn't right. And I just heard a strong, impactful message, sermon here from Pastor Johnny. And I got up and I went towards them. And I don't know if my family thought, oh man, he's about to fight somebody, right? They thought that though. They got up like, oh, all right, let's go, right? But by the way, the reason why I did that is because when I was feeling like a little bit offended, I thought the Holy Spirit was like, no way, Jose, you know, you can't feel. I mean, I don't know if the Holy Spirit speaks Spanish, but in any case, it still said, you know, to me in my own terms, right? No, you can't do that. I'm going to convict you to go make peace. Love your enemies. So I went over there and I said, hey, as soon as I got there, he was like, whoa. And I said, hey, and I just want to tell you, I want to apologize. I don't know what I did and if I crowded or whatever. Honestly, it wasn't unintentional and I made a mistake. And I just came back from church. I listened to a strong message. And who am I if I'm not going to be practicing what I hear? And I'm sorry. I just want to let you know I'm sorry. And they were like, hey, we just came from church too, right? So it was just like, wow, you know? So I say that not because I'm bragging about what I did. I'm just telling you during that whole process, I was like, oh, you know? And then I'm like, I got to practice what I preach. And then obviously my own kids were there. And it wasn't just doing it for them, because I was thinking, you know, who are we if we're not going to actually be like Jesus, right? Thank God it turned out that way, right? And it says in 32, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? So it's easy to do that to people that maybe believe like us. Oh, we believe. He's part of my tribe. We believe the same. For even sinners love those who love them. So we're not doing anything different than sinners are doing, if we're being like that. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? That's easy. For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. So we're still not doing anything different there, right? But it says, but love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. But look what it says, and you will be sons of the Most High. And I love this last line, because it says, for he is kind to the who? What's the word? Gracia, right? grace. He is kind to the unthankful. He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, he closes in 36, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. So before people are born again, they are deserving of wrath. Yet the Lord, the good Lord, gives and shows love, mercy, and kind to the what? To the who? To the unthankful and evil, who deserves wrath. But not just to strangers, but to enemies too. Folks, just remember here, we are included in the unthankful. We were once unthankful. We were once there who were naturally, who were not being thankful to our God. Hopefully we are not still stuck there now as Christians, not giving thanks to God. Yeah, we made it in. Now I don't have to show thanks. No. Should do it more. A.W. Tozer said, grace is the good pleasure of God that inclines him to bestow benefits on the undeserving. Love that quote. But again, we were not just strangers, but we were also God's enemies. And God still gave us mercy. And the example Jesus gives us here was not just for him to do it, it was also for us as well. It's easy to go, oh, that's Jesus. No, he's doing it to have a good pattern, right? Show us a good pattern of what he's doing so we can copy him. He says in verse 36, I repeat it again, therefore be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. So if we're going to strive to be Christ-like, we ought to do what he did. And one of the things we should be doing is start evangelizing. Start evangelizing more, and maybe we will see God's mercy and saving grace on others. And then the focus wouldn't be on us. The focus wouldn't be on why. And instead of why, it would probably be more like be. What do you mean be? Be merciful as your Father. Instead of looking at the word why, we should be going be, right? Be as how he was and how he showed us an example to do. Have you noticed, I don't know if you noticed this, but clearly not all of us, right? We'll join or we'll subscribe to every unthankful tribe in the world. But how fast do we engage in God's? We heard that today, this morning. Are we activated in doing ministry? Are we engaging ourselves doing it, right? We heard that this morning. Or we just throw it out with the baby with the bathwater and say, you know, nobody wants to listen. Or like Pastor Johnny said earlier, it is what it is. No, it's not. We need to be careful because now that we are in Christ's tribe, forgive me if I'm saying it that way, and now that we are Christians, we can often practice the sin of ingratitude, not showing others mercy that was given to us. Thanksgiving should be the normal expression of every believer, every day, and everything we do. It shouldn't just be when we get our way, or just because we made it in. I think I put in there an acronym. I just liked it. It is what it is. I know Peach is not the biggest fan of acronyms, right? I read an acronym that said, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. By the way, that's not in the Bible. But you can probably find it in terms of, he died, right? In terms of his expense, his blood. And let us never forget that expense was Christ's blood on the cross. A reminder of the ungrateful, just so you know, it's not just talking about being grateful, but the reminder of the ungrateful. In Luke 17, it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Remember that word? Glorified God, right? He did it with a loud voice, right? And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him what? Thanks. And he was a Samaritan. 17, it says, so Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Jesus asked. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, the Samaritan? So is it just getting across the finish line of I'm saved, right? Or should we be, as soon as we're saved, who can we go and help God show mercy to? Right? How can we go out and show mercy to? It's Thanksgiving in 4 days, and now we're thanking him for the mercy he bestowed on us. But then can we say, man, he hasn't came back because he wants to save more. He wants to give more mercy through us. Right? He doesn't have to through us, but he wants to. Only one out of ten was grateful and came back to glorify God and came back to give him thanks. Man, I hope it's not us of the nine. Because sometimes it's easy to say, I don't know how to talk to people. Is God thinking, you're ungrateful? I'm the one that does the talking, right? I don't know what to say. Romans 1:21 says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were, again, thankful. They were not thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They did not glorify him, nor were thankful. God commands us to be grateful. After all God has done for us and how he made us, it should be easy to worship God. Gratitude should come naturally. It should come naturally to us believers in response to all God has done in our behalf. But because of our hardness of heart and flesh, God requires us to be to thanksgiving with commands. So he's like, okay, I got to still help them more, giving them some more scripture, because they're not going to do it out of their own heart, even though I've already did enough for them. He says in Psalms 100, one of my favorite ones that I like, right? 4, enter into his gates with what? Being ungrateful, right? Or with the question of why me? Why not me? No, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Not asking for petitions, can you give me more of something? No, thanksgiving and praise. And then he says, be thankful. Oh man, there's another one. Be thankful to him. And then it says, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. And then he says, his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. That's enough in that little verse package that we can just get that and just study it for the next few weeks, right? How we should be praising his name, how should we be thanking him, how we should be blessing his name, how we should be excited with the mercy of everlasting, and more importantly, how the truth endures to all generations. Paul says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. It says in Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. You've been taught. We can't make excuses. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. Why are you being ungrateful when you're being taught how to be thankful? It says in Colossians, Paul continues in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And what? Be thankful. I love that it says peace. You want to have peace? Be thankful. Oh, I have a bad attitude right now. Whatever, right? Things are not going my way. Well, maybe you're not thankful. You want peace, but you don't want to give thanks to the Almighty. And again, it doesn't say to consider to be thankful. It says be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, and in everything, again, what? Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, right? What is my will? Like, I know a lot of people say that too, right? There's even a book, Learn What God's Will Is, right? Well, if you didn't want to read the book, just read that verse. It says, I'll read it backwards, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What is it? And everything give thanks. Everything, right? I've had a back. Thank you, Lord. You slowed me down for a reason. Right? Maybe that's where you slow me down for a reason. So I don't, you know, get too crazy in whatever I'm doing, right? I remember Pastor Heinrich. I don't exactly remember, some of those are related to him, remember this, but he, when he had cancer the first time, he was praising the Lord for his cancer. He was praising the Lord for his cancer. I mean, think about that. I mean, how strong is that, you know? Well, I know he trusts the Lord, right? So, and everything give thanks. But now you might be saying, okay, now we know to be thankful, but can you explain to me what it means? Oh, you still need to know more? Okay. Well, question. So, what does it mean to be thankful? In Colossians 3:16 and 17, we were already in 15, now we'll go to 16 and 17. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching you and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving what again? Thanks to God the Father through him. So, what does it mean? Well, it means that we need to be thankful to God that he let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Right? When we read that, are we going, thank you, Lord, for allowing your word to, that he let the word of Christ dwell in us richly? Well, also, we need to be thankful to God that he gives us his wisdom. It's in that same passage. We also need to be thankful to God that he allows us to teach and admonish one another, right? We also need to be thankful to God that for his psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that we just sang some right now. And we need to be thankful to God that he allows us to sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. I don't know if you know this, but if you go down the same list I just gave you in that same outline, there's not a lot of people doing that. For sure, I know there's people that are actually out there, they're not doing it for the Lord. And I don't just mean people that are Christians, but non-Christians. Most people would say, I need to have alcohol to be able to sing, to be able to have a merry time, to be thankful, right? That's going to happen in the next few months. I remember seeing that a lot growing up. November and December, ooh, those were the party days. Those were the days that, man, everybody's got to bring a 12-pack, and we're going to sing, right? We're going to sound like pirates. We don't need none of that. All we need to do is read scripture and say thank you again for his word, for his wisdom, for allowing us to teach and admonish one another, for his psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and that he allows us to sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. The world says to love yourself. Oh, love yourself. Please love yourself. And then it says, love yourself because God loves you. That's it. To the point that we even have a radio station called K-Love, right? It's all about love. Just because the word love gets wrongly repeated or made into a melody doesn't make it genuine. I know that Pastor Johnny has made fun of us in Spanish because he says, if you listen to every Spanish word, it has the word love. It literally has it like in every song. I remember when he told me that, and I was raised, you know, Spanish songs. I'm like, what? So I listened to every Spanish song. I kid you not, every song has it. It has it in the form of amor, corazón, te quiero, right? Love you, heart, right? All that. But just because it repeats it in the song every single time, that does not mean it's genuine, right? Maybe instead of amor, it should be señor, right? Instead of actually corazón, it should be Cristo, right? Now, I don't know if you know this, but presently there's dictatorships in this world like North Korea that when their people see Kim Jong-un in person or in a picture, they have to chant, pray, clap, or showing their love and loyalty to him. If they don't, they die, right? If there's a fire in their house, they don't have to, the first ones they should not save is their babies, is the one they should save is his picture. If the picture, if they save the baby and the picture's in there, they die, right? Now, do you really think they really love him? Is it really genuine that they really love him? No, they're scared of him, you know? Thank God we don't have that type of person in charge of us, right? As God. In that situation, it is clear to to us, and we know that it's not true that they love him. But can we see it clear that the Bible says, instead of loving ourselves, right? We're all about loving ourselves selfishly, like Pastor Johnny said a few weeks ago or last week, right? We got the pictures on ourselves all the time. What does it say in Mark 12:30? It's commanded to us to love God. It says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Now, I didn't see anything in there that says about loving ourselves, right? It's all about him, right? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Pretty much covered it. So do we even have the, now that you hear that, do we even have the audacity to say, why God? You know? Maybe we should say, why God, I don't know how to love you better. Please help me love you better. Maybe that's a question. I don't know. But we don't have the right to ask questions there. So the answer is no, by the way, already. Maybe if we focused our attention from loving ourselves to loving our God more, we would probably be more inclined to be more thankful to him. Like it says in Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And again, here's the word, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I actually have a recommendation when I was writing these notes. I said, instead of listening to many love songs, we should be listening to grace songs, being thankful songs. And if there isn't many, because I don't think there is, we should write more songs that thank God more. Anybody's a good writer? Write some songs where it thanks God more instead of talking about love. Being grateful acknowledges God's sovereignty. The single greatest act of worship we can render to God is to thank him. It's the epitome of worship because through gratitude, we affirm God as the ultimate source of both trial and blessing. There's trial and blessing. We should be thanking him for both. And acknowledge our humble acceptance of both because it does take humility for the ups and for the downs of life. It does take humility. I'll give you an example or a question. How many times do we see people who are not humble because they believe they are successful by their own doing instead of bringing God the glory? We see it all the time. And you might go, well, it's only the successful people, it's only the rich people. No, wrong. Another question, how many times do we see people who are not humble as they are failing and struggling in life and become victims instead of trusting God? Maybe God says, I'm not going to give it to you because you'll ruin your life more, right? Or something, right? With a thankful heart, you can say in the midst of anything, God be praised. I'll repeat that again. With a thankful heart, you can say in the midst of anything, God be praised. That kind of attitude looks beyond the circumstance to the plan of God. It sees beyond the pain to the sovereignty of God. And that kind of attitude remembers what Paul says in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good, to those who, what? Love God. We talked about that already, right? Not for those that love themselves. I'll repeat it again. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So, obviously, there's a purpose there that they're also called, right? According to his purpose. So those who are thankful see the providential hand of God everywhere and say, God, I thank you for the peaceful times as well as the hard times. Like a difficult marriage, like a challenging career, a severe illness, like cancer, even financial troubles. And our attitude should be, I trust you, God, and I trust you will use those things for my good and for your glory. I repeat that again because I'm just writing it down. I just love how it says it, right? I trust you, God, and I trust you will use those things for my good and your glory. And it's part of our progressive sanctification, like I said earlier. So what should be the proper response as we close? What should be the proper response when we are thankful? When we thank God for everything as we walk in the Lord, it helps us to behave differently. These three things should be the characteristic of every grateful believer's life at all times. These are the three things. I think I put them in there for you. If not, I'll repeat them right now. These should be the proper response. This should be our behavior. Rejoice always. Number one. What is it? Hold on. Rejoice when? When you feel like it? No, always. Versus just being sad or depressed. And we shouldn't need a stimulant to make us joyful. Number two, pray without ceasing. And that is pray all the time. Right? And that doesn't mean that you're going to only be praying, we like to pray at our family. I don't know if everybody does, but we do pray. And some of my kids even pray longer than I do now, you know? That's number two. Number three, and everything, here we go again, give what? Give thanks. Everybody say what? Give what? Thanks. And everything. And don't say, but it's not easy. It never says anything about, when it's easy, give thanks. It says give thanks and everything. There are no outs for these three behaviors for the believer. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Inward joy, continual, unceasing prayer that includes praises as well as petition, constant, unending gratitude. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us as brethren. And it says in Paul, I'm just going to read them because I read the three, but I want you to see that it's from Scripture, obviously. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 17, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So what would happen if every day, it's the last question, we will rejoice, we all rejoiced always, we always prayed without ceasing, and in everything we give thanks. This week when someone tells you, man, how do you like that turkey? You're right. I'm rejoicing always, right? You wanna know what I learned this week? These three things, you wanna know what these three things mean or what I learned this week? You can mention those things. It's a conversation starter. Maybe it goes deeper. Invite them to church. Well, I don't have to elaborate what would happen, because you know what would happen if we were doing all those three things. Now I give you something to talk about at the Thanksgiving table. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I hope I did justice to being thankful to you, that we should be praising your name regardless, just because you are God. Father, you're all powerful, you're all knowledgeable, you're everywhere. You're the only true God and King of the heavens, of the earth, of the universe and the galaxies. And then you made us in your image when we didn't deserve it. Father, thank you for being sovereign. Thanks for giving us your love and mercy and grace through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again on the third day. And you still, on top of that, give us a Holy Spirit to convict us and to help us. And then you give us Holy Scriptures to guide us to progress in sanctification and eventually to glorification with you in heaven. Then on top of that, you gave us pastors and teachers to teach us, Father, and to guide us to learn how to apply your holy word. Father, Thanksgiving is going to happen in the next few days. Let us not be only about what we're eating or what we're doing, but that we're not ashamed to talk about you. And that let us not be like the nine that didn't come back, did not praise your name. Help us, Father, to have mercy on others like you had mercy on us. Be with us, Father, this week. Bring us back next week if it's your will. And I ask you this in Jesus' name.